Good morning.
Good morning.
You all survived Thanksgiving.
Amen.
That's awesome. Let's take a moment and pray. God, our Heavenly Father, Master, Creator of the universe, Father, you are our hope. God, you are our hope. Father, let us never, ever forget that, Lord. I pray that today, Father, every word that comes forth from this pulpit, God, be your words, not mine, Lord. And I pray that you bless this congregation today, God. I pray that those who have ears, let them hear, Father. Let us worship you, Lord, by listening attentively to what you have to say to us, God. We pray this in the precious, precious sacrifice made for us, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if Pastor Tony didn't give it away, today we're going to talk about hope. Hope. We hear it. We see it on lots of Christmas ornaments. We walk through the mall and we have huge signs bigger than that one that say, hope, hope. What is it? What's hope? I'll tell you what. I won't do this too long, but I'm going to ask a couple of you, maybe two or three, to tell me what. What's hope? Anyone? Want to give it a shot? Yeah. Here you go.
Sorry?
Awesome. Great. Maybe two more? Pastor Tony does this, 500 hands go up.
Hope is having something to look forward to that we can trust in and depend on in Christ.
Wow. Somebody read the dictionary a lot as a kid. All right, one more. Yes.
Hope is not just knowing things, but an absolute assurance that things are going to happen. An absolute assurance.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, you know, I was pretty curious to see not just what us church-going folk call hope or would define hope as, but rather I sent some of our teens from our cohesion group to the Smith Haven Mall to find out exactly what these crazy holiday shoppers think hope is. Let's take a look.
What do I think hope is? I think hope is a faith that the glass is really half full rather than half empty.
So what do you think hope is?
Hope is what keeps people going, you know, and, you know, you know, it's what everybody has hope. You know, it's what you hope for, and what you, you know, it's what keeps you going every day. You know, what you strive for, and what you hope your friends, your family, your loved ones, or you always hope for the best for them. So it's just something that just keeps you going every day.
I think hope is having a just an ongoing sense of that things will happen in a good way in the future. And that's me on the spot telling you what hope means in the mall.
Yes.
I think hope means that you're hoping for something and you might get it. So I think it's good.
I think hope means peace on earth, basically. Hopefully people will be kinder to each other and nicer, and hopefully they will.
Hope is the reason, is the force which gives us the incentive to push our limits, to do better in life.
Feeling, I think, that life will, God will always take care of us and give us what we need to get through the day.
The meaning of hope is having something in your mind that makes you believe in something.
What do you think hope is?
Wow, do you know somebody dropped off paperwork with stuff like that today, too? That's weird. Well, to be honest, I've been through a lot in my life. My mom passed away when I was really young. So, basically, I think that hope is in every single person. That's what I think it is. I think hope is just people. Without my friends, without the people that I work with now, I don't think I would be able to do anything. So, when it comes to hope, I actually have it tattooed on me, to be honest. So
that's the
yeah, so I take hope very seriously. So yeah, that's so funny. No problem. Yeah, they just dropped off this paperwork. Yes. Isn't that weird?
That is very weird.
I was really upset today too, and like I was sitting here by myself because my boss and me guys had this huge fight. And this lady pops up and she goes, "You look like you need hope in your life," and just put the paper down and walked away. And then you guys came over and said the same thing.
See, it is from God.
If anybody says they don't have hope, then they just didn't find it yet. And you can tell everybody has something.
What do you think hope is?
What do I think hope is? The desire for something better than what you already have.
Hope is that shining light that you get when you're down and you know that you can keep going on.
What do I think hope is? It's like grasp. It's like reaching. And it's like no other terms that can go beyond hope. You can't go beyond hope. You can hope. And if it's meant to be, it's going to come. You got to pray that hope is going to help you. And you have to believe in it. Okay?
Santa was so close, he just didn't know who to pray to. So as you see, there's so many different thoughts on what the idea of hope even means. Let's clarify the definition, though, before we continue, just so you can understand where I'm coming from with what I'm speaking about today. There's a few definitions in the dictionary, but there's two of them that I really want to make our focus really be on. The first one is hope as a noun. Is the person or thing in which expectations are centered upon. Whew. Man, Webster knew what he was talking about, and I know who he had in mind when he wrote that. I'll say that again. It's the person or thing in which expectations are centered upon. As a verb, hope is to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. This is the very message of Christmas. I'm going to break down today's ideas of hope into three categories, three things that we have hope in. The first thing that we have hope in is our salvation. Amen for that we have hope in our salvation. I'm going to take you on a brief journey. And I know typically in Advent and Christmas, our journey only goes back about 2,000 years. But today I want to bring you back over 6,000. Over 6,000 years ago, there were a man and a woman. They were placed in a garden, and they walked with their God in the cool of each day. They chose, though, to disobey God as they were deceived by our greatest enemy, who still prowls today. God had obviously seen what happened and delivered a series of judgments on Adam, Eve, and then the serpent. Now, this is where we pick up in the story for a moment. We're in Genesis chapter 3. Starting in verse 14, when God is speaking to the serpent whom Satan had spoken to Eve through. Verse 14, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel.'" This is called the Proto-Evangelium. This is the first picture of hope. Of hope. You see, we've all chosen sin. We've all chosen death. We've chosen the fall in Adam. Through Adam, we made that choice. And right there in Genesis 3, God says, "Hope, hope. I will bruise your head." We fast forward a few thousand years of up and down history, including the stories that most of you know, the stories of Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, Moses, Joshua, the judges, David, Solomon, Jehoshaphat, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the splitting of the kingdom of Israel into two kingdoms, a time of captivity, a loss of 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel, and so much more. We finally reached the time between 445 and 433 BC, where many of the people of Israel have recently been released from the rule of the Persians. Now, some of them are still waiting anxiously for the hope of salvation, for the Messiah. You see, this is the time of the prophet Malachi, just after the prophet Nehemiah. The people of Israel had turned into a culture much like 2011 America. You see, their sacrifices were half-hearted, to say the least. Divorce was through the roof. There was intermarriage between the people of God and those who worshipped false gods. People did as they pleased with no regard for God or his words. Israel was in economic crisis. And so, similar to the United States today, the people closed their wallets and their hearts to God. Oh, so familiar. The times of 400 BC, almost exactly the same as 2011 America. And God sent Malachi to warn the people that judgment would come if they didn't get their act together and turn back to God. See, this was the last call. This was the last call. This is where our Old Testament ends. Because after Malachi, there was silence from God. 400 years. No prophets, no judges, no direct revelation at all from God. Our nation isn't even around for 400 years. Not even. And that's how long God's lips were silent to the people. Let's fast forward past those 400 years of silence, and we see an old priest named Zechariah. He's been chosen to make the sacrifice for the nation of Israel in the Holy of Holies for that year. And as he enters the Holy of Holies, he encounters the first revelation from God in 400 years. He's told that he's going to have a son, and that that son is to be named John, and that he is the forerunner to Messiah. You see, 6 months later, an angel visits a virgin girl named Mary. And I'm so glad he did. Hope. Hope. Finally, the promise of salvation, promised from the Garden of Eden back in Genesis 3, would be fulfilled in a baby boy. We fast forward again through his life until 30 years later, when now the man, Jesus of Nazareth, begins his earthly ministry, calls 12 disciples, and changes the world. You see, the blind, they saw. The deaf, they heard. The dead were alive. The lame walked. That's hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. We fast forward 3 more years. The end of his ministry, where he is brutally beaten and crucified on a cross for the sins of man. And as he hangs on the cross, he even prays for God to forgive the very men crucifying him. He prays his last prayer, and he commits his spirit into the hands of God the Father. Oh, but 3 days later, hope, hope, the hope, because he rose again. Amen. Death could not handle our Savior. Amen. Death could not handle Jesus. Let's fast forward again. 2,000 years. To Long Island, New York, 2011, just 4 weeks before we celebrate Christmas. Let me introduce you guys to a family who is in desperate need of that very hope.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Hey, John, I don't know, man. I just don't know.
That meeting was intimidating. Who does that BT think he is, anyway?
Well, he thinks he's our boss. That's who he thinks he is.
Well, next Christmas, they may give out bonuses if the economy gets better.
Well, I'm not even worried about the bonus. I'm just worried about keeping my job.
Don't be silly, Dave. You're the tallest, most handsome fellow here. You're critical to the job. They need you. We need you.
Well, thanks, John, but I got an email from the VP's office. Man, he must have seen me by the end of the day. You know what they've been talking about, maybe cutting some people loose. I'm really nervous about it.
You'll be fine, Dave. I've been praying for you. I even had my cohesion group praying for you. We meet once a week.
Oh, that's great, but, you know, you can keep the Jesus stuff. I tried religion, it didn't work for me, and Jesus isn't going to write me a Christmas bonus check.
Dave, you might be right about the job and the bonus, but this Jesus that I'm talking about, just a baby born on Christmas, but he's also the one who died on Good Friday and was resurrected on Easter Sunday, and that is for you. That's for your soul.
John, you know, I appreciate your attitude, and, you know, I've heard the story at church before, the fairy tale. You know, it's a good excuse for me to get a bonus every year. That's all it is, man. It's just a fairy tale.
Mom, can we go play outside?
Can we?
Sure, just be careful, okay?
Don't worry, I'll keep them safe.
Have fun.
They get big so quickly.
Yes, they do.
That's why this Christmas I just want it to be different. I just want to cherish each moment I have with them. Make it count.
Well, I'm happy for you guys, but things are not going very well between me and Lucas. He's been so distant lately. Would you believe he asked if he could spend the night at a friend's house for Christmas?
Mm-hmm. It's okay, yeah. Becky. He's a typical teen. It will be fine.
I hope so.
Yeah. So what are you girls getting your husbands for Christmas this year?
Same old at my house. Coupons for a car wash for that stupid car and a new Mercedes ornament for the tree.
Well, I wish that's all my husband wanted. He wants the new iPad 6, the new EV 2.1, a new Rolex watch, and of all things, a Rubik's Cube.
Wow. Are you serious? Do they still make those?
I hope so.
How about you, Becky?
Well, things are a little bit tight around here this winter. I think that we might just get each other cards.
Aww, oh, Becky.
You know, should have told us. We would help you.
Absolutely.
Well, if there's anything you need, you let us know. And I'll be praying for you every day. I'll be praying for you every day and just know it's going to be okay.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, my life may be boring sometimes, but I just don't think that religion is for me. And I know that your husband is a pastor and all, and I'm sure he helps a lot of people, but our problems are just different.
Is that why you've been staying inside lately?
I just have so many responsibilities here at the house, you know?
Lucas! I got Modern Warfare 3. You gotta come over to my house after school.
I'm sorry, I can't. Hang out with them.
Yeah, about that, I'm gonna need some cash to get it.
Hey, where are you going? I have cash. Can I come too?
No. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to do what we're doing.
How do you know? I want to go.
Lucas, just tell him. He's not that stupid. He knows already.
You guys aren't talking about drugs, are you?
Shh. That's my mom. Shut up.
Lucas, how could you, man?
Shh. Don't tell anybody.
I know where we could get some cash.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, loser.
What do you want from me?
Give me your wallet. Give me your money. Where is it? Give me it.
Knock it off, guys! Bye! 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 Bye!
Josh, why'd you have to get in the way?
What were you thinking? Now you're a bully just to get money so you can buy drugs.
Well, we can't all be goody-goodies like you, PK.
I'm not a goody-goody. I'm a Christian. And I know that God doesn't want you to live a life full of drugs.
Josh, come on. If God was interested in me, he wouldn't give me a dad that works 24/7 and a mom that always complains about money. I don't go home to a dad as a pastor and a perfect mom that has everything for me. I live in reality, Josh. You know, I didn't get Modern Warfare 3 for Xbox, and I'm not getting it for Christmas.
Hey, bro, that's not how it works. God loves you and he cares for you. That's why we even have Christmas. He doesn't care if you're not perfect and if you don't try to be perfect, okay? He loves you just the way you are.
Dude, I wish that was true.
It is. That's why Jesus came, to live the life that we couldn't, because he knows we couldn't. And that's why he died the death that we should have. Lucas, I promise you, you really do matter.
Okay, dude, that is really what I needed to hear. And look what it's done to you. What do I do? I really want in. I'm sick of my life and hating myself.
You know how we're sitting here in the Steen's office?
Yeah?
It's the same situation. You see, we're all waiting to be judged, and we all have done wrong. It's just, like, God, Jesus literally did that for us, so we don't have to be judged.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, dude, I believe, and I'm sorry for getting you in trouble.
It's okay, but I really do think that you should go, like, apologize to that kid David.
Yeah, I probably should.
Dave is a man who has no hope in the outcome of a new situation at work. Becky, stuck in the daily routine of life at home, concerned over finances, and over her son, who seems to be spiraling downhill fast. But Lucas found the hope that is in salvation. Now, this doesn't mean that life would become easy. It's not meant to be easy. But it brings me to my second point. And my second point is that there really is hope while in this life. You see, we don't have to only wait for our future. But we have hope to get through every single day in this life. Let me put it this way. If it was so easy to go through everyday life, if everything was just perfect, and everything that we hoped for and wanted and wished for, we just got with no efforts, so that there wouldn't be any hope. Paul says it best. In Romans 8:24, he says, "For in this hope we were saved. Hope that is seen isn't hope. Who hopes for what he sees?" See, what Paul was saying to the church in Rome here is that we will not need hope when we get to heaven, because we'll see our Savior face to face. You will see what it is we hoped for actually come to fruition right before our very eyes. But in the interim, it is hope that sustains us in this life. We can face the most difficult situations in our lives with bold confidence, because we know that Romans 8:28 still is in your Bibles. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." You see, as Christians walking through this life, we have a hope that drives us above the fears, above feelings of hopelessness that this world is filled with. Guys, we could sustain a job loss. We can. And there's a lot of them going on. We could sustain a wayward child. We can. We can. Because there is hope. We could sustain depression. We could sustain anxiety. I'm not saying it's disappeared, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form going to tell you that if you have depression, anxiety, and if you're stressed out about the economy, that you're completely in the wrong and don't have enough faith, okay? I wouldn't dare. But what I will say is Christ did not say he was going to take us out of it yet, but he will sustain us through it. Our hope is in our Savior, who will sustain us while in this life into the next. You see, we need to share this hope. That's the key element of really this whole second point of there being hope within this life. You don't want to take something that God has given us and keep it to ourselves and hide it. Fear of what other people may think. Because the truth is, they're desperate for the hope that you have in you. This is why we have ministries here, like our food pantry ministry, like The Journey. Why we're even giving blood in December. We don't do these things to look like good people, or dare I even say holy people. But we do these things to take advantage of an opportunity to show someone the hope that we have in Christ Jesus in this life and in the next. And we can do it in a tangible, real way that they can touch, see, taste, smell, and actually hear. There's no greater hope around this holiday season than just giving a hug to a broken, devastated person and telling them that Jesus is their very hope. You see, the truth is, guys, there are so many families that wouldn't walk through these doors. So many families that are so broken and devastated. So many families like this one.
Did I give you permission to sit down?
No, sir. Sorry.
So do you know why you're in here, Dave?
Actually, I'm not sure.
I've been reviewing your numbers, Dave, and they're just really below what they should be, below what they were last year. And, you know, if you don't do something about this, I'm going to have to do something to you.
Well, I understand, but the way the economy...
Yo! Excuses are the tools that people use to build themselves up into something they're not when they don't have any purpose in view. So what are you telling me?
Well, with all due respect...
If I can interrupt you, okay? If you respected me, Dave, all right? You'd hit your numbers. Listen, I can understand you've been here for 14 years and I'm here for 6 months, but I cannot oversee operations and tell our investors that I'm allowing such impecunious efforts to go on in my company. I have to let you go. I got no choice.
Sure. I have a family.
As do I, Dave. As do I. Please, have your things packed up in an hour and leave your ID badge with my secretary.
Dave and Becky got to the hospital, and they waited by their son's bedside for hours. When he finally opened his eyes, he told his parents everything, how he had gotten into the drugs, but now had gotten into Jesus. How the dealer that he used to buy from tried killing him because he owed him some money, and that's how he ended up in the hospital. You see, he apologized to his parents for giving them such a hard time. And he told them that he wanted to go to church that Sunday. Although they were very reluctant at first, they agreed because of the change that they had seen in their son in just one day's time. So the next Sunday, they visited Laura's husband's church. It was called Integrity Christian Fellowship. When they got there, they saw hope. They were immediately greeted by church members. They even enjoyed a bagel or two and a cup of coffee after the service. You see, but most importantly, Dave and Becky gave their lives to Christ that Sunday. Now as a family, they attend a cohesion group. Lucas goes to the youth group. Becky joined Mosaic, and Dave joined Transformers. They've been blessed as a family to receive food from the food pantry ministry during this difficult time of Dave losing his job. And Lucas has joined the Journey ministry to help him with his addiction. You see, a family found hope. Hope for the next life and in this life. And it was the body of Christ that helped show them that hope. There is hope in our salvation. There is hope in this life too. God chooses to use us as his tools to show this hope to a dying world. However, there is a third promise which we anxiously hope for. Because there's still people dying. There's still people fighting addictions. We still experience injustice. We still deal with relationship issues. Go to bed hungry. Some of us sleep every night with just the memory of a loved one. A spouse, a parent, a child. But there's hope. There's hope. There's hope that one day the baby who came in a manger is going to come as a conquering king. Injustice will be justified. Death will die. Sin will have met its match. Finally. Finally. This is hope. He really is coming back one day. Let me tell you how John describes the scene in Revelation. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our hope is the graves will split open. They will split open. And our bodies, the bodies of our loved ones who have passed in Christ, will meet us in the air with him. So let us wait with hope and anticipation for Jesus' second coming as we celebrate his first coming. Let us never forget why he came in the first place. And why he's coming again. May we never forget that we have hope in our salvation, hope in this life, and finally, hope in Jesus' return. You see, Jesus is our hope. As a noun, he is the person in which our expectations are centered upon, as he controls our salvation, our very lives here, and our lives for all eternity are in his hands. And as a verb, we look forward with desire and reasonable confidence in his second coming to make all things new, as the ancient believers looked forward with desire and reasonable confidence to his first coming to deliver us and to bring the very message of hope to us personally in the form of himself. Praise be to God, and Merry Christmas.